say that
Zayin of Beis, the last eight lines or so, two dots, the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah, Nafla Lagina, if the animal falls accidentally, Be'ones, into someone's garden, Venenes, and gets Hana, Mishalemes Mashin Henes. The Mishnah told us, this is a couple days ago, that the any Hana that the Baal Behema got has to pay the Baal Hasada. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav says, Benichvada, when the animal fell and was protected from the field, it was a pretty much a cushion. The patch of, I don't know, carrot, whatever is growing there, with cushions, and help the fall, break the fall. That's the hana. Val achla, but if the animal goes ahead and eats the garden, afil mashinanis eino mishalemis. So that which the Baal Hasada gets hana from not having to feed his animal, he does not have to pay. Only from that which broke the fall, but beyond that, he doesn't have to pay, which is fascinating. So Gemara suggests maybe lema rav l'tameh. Maybe this rav l'shita. So dama rav hayalo shelo tocha. Rav holds that he shouldn't have eaten. So the animal shouldn't have eaten. So therefore, since he shouldn't have eaten and he ate, the Baal HaBeima is pater. Now it's a very strange svar, as the Gemara will about to reject that. I mean, shahayalo le'echel, since he shouldn't have eaten. So since he wasn't supposed to eat and he did eat, that's dafka why he should be chayv the nezek. So Gemara says, wait a second, this is a very strange svar to say. Amri Hachi, let's understand this for a moment. Hashta Emar the Merav. We understand where Rav applied this statement, Hasam over there. Hayala Shalol Tochel, we shouldn't eat. That's only Hecha De'isazkehi, where, so let's say the animal ate someone else's food. And that food damaged the animal, was poison. So the owner of the poison said, the animal shouldn't have eaten it. It's not my fault he ate the poison. That's not meant to be, it's not edible. So the Matzi Amrle, Mari the Pere, the owner of the fruits, says, Lo Mishame, I'm a peng. He shouldn't have eaten it. You know, dogs are allergic to chocolate, right? So he ate my chocolate. So I need to pay because that dog ate the chocolate and now the dog dies? Not my fault. The dog shouldn't have eaten it and think that weren't his. So that's when you apply shelo haya tochal. He shouldn't have eaten it. When the Baal HaPeros is pater. But lazuke he achrini de patiri l'shume mi amar. But to say he's pater from someone else, because he ate someone else's food, he shouldn't have eaten it, so now the Baal HaBeima is pater, that doesn't make any sense. That means there should never be a chiv on any shein. Because I should always say, if my animal goes ahead and eats your food, yeah, he shouldn't have eaten it, I'm pater. It doesn't make any sense. So clearly, according to this, Rav should be saying, both when he falls, he breaks the fall, and any fruit get damaged, and anything that he eats, he should be responsible for as well. So the Gemara explains, Ella, going on to Daf Nun Ches, El lomi bai kamar. So lomi bai. Needless to say, achla, when the animal eats the food, the mishalemes mashinenes. Certainly, there the animal eats the animal. The Baal HaBeima has to pay for any food that was eaten. Aval nichbada ema mavriach ari minichse chaverahu. But if the animal just breaks its fall and damages all your cabbages below, so maybe there he shouldn't have to pay anything. Because it's mavriachari. What's mavriachari? Let's say an animal, a lion, is coming onto your field, and I shoot the lion, or I scare away the lion. So there's nothing that I get paid for doing anything. I didn't do anything. I protected your field, but that's not really anything substantial. Nothing occurred there. Umashinanis nami lo mishalim. So you're benefiting that I saved your land. I killed the lion for you. So you should have to pay me. We say, no, of course not. I didn't do any hana for you. I protected damage and I stopped damage from happening. I removed that damage of the Ari, but I didn't really give you any positive benefit. So here too also, there's no positive benefit here. So this also is very hard to understand what he means by this. Kamash Malan, so he says you have to pay anyways. So what we're trying to say is that my animal didn't get hana from landing on your cabbage. It just protected, it broke the fall. It protected damage from happening. That's the understanding here. So I shouldn't have to pay you for your cabbage protecting my animal, being mafriach ari, making the nechbata, the chavata running away, if you will. So therefore, maybe I shouldn't have to pay. Kamash mon, I still got hana. I have to pay for any damage that my animal made in your property. Amar says, why not? Eim hachanami. Maybe it should be. Maybe this is a good comparison. I should be pater. I prevent the damage. Mar says, it's very different cases. Ari minichse chaveru bidaito hu. Haila midaito. There, I chased away willingly. I was aware of what was going on. I chased away Yari. But here, the Baal HaSada was unaware of what was going on. I didn't know. I never gave you das never gave you permission to have your animal land in my property. I wasn't mochel or anything like that. So therefore, you'd have to pay me. By the Mavriach Ari case, I'm not sure what the relevance of the daito is, to be honest. Let's see how they explain this. I'm not sure whose das this is. This das of the sadeh, the guy who knew about this?
Das of the Baal Sadeh, he wasn't...
But let's say he didn't know about it, and then he would have to pay?
Because he... Normally, when I'm Mavriach Ari and I'm chasing after a line on your behalf, I'm willingly exerting energy. I'm being willful on that energy or efforts, whatever I'm exerting, in order to save your stuff. The fact here, I saved your animal from breaking his fall by having...
So not the Baal HaSadeh for the Mavriach, it's the guy who's the Baal Mavriach, if you will. The guy who gave up his time, which case is now the comparison to the Baal HaSadeh in our case. I didn't willingly let him land on my cabbage. So therefore, it's not Midaita, he wasn't Mocha. Fine. Inami, alternatively, says the Gemara, Mavriach Ari Minich Sechavero Lese Pseida. There's no Pseida to have to pay. The guy ran and chased away the line. He didn't lose anything. He didn't, you know, unless it may have got damaged, might be another story, but assume he shot the lion and didn't get damaged, didn't get hurt, he didn't lose anything, so there's no pseida for me to be made up. I don't have to be compensated for anything. But high isle pseida, but the guy who just lost his whole field of cabbages, he lost a lot there, he does need to be compensated, and therefore you cannot compare the animal landing in the cabbage to a chasing away a lion, in which case you have to pay for the animal when he breaks the fall and any additional food that he might eat all along the way. The baal ha-behema would be chayv. The Gemara asks, Hechi nafel. How in the world did this animal fall in the first place? What was the cause of the trip into the Gina? He was standing in Rishis HaRabim, the Mishnah told us, and somehow he fell to a lower property, which was someone's personal garden. So Gemara explains, Rav Kana says, Amar shehuchlaka b'mei mei ragla. He had went to the bathroom, and he slipped on his own urine, and he fell off the Rishis HaRabim down into the field. Okay. So... Rashi explains here, Shehuchlaka b'mei mei raglea mirushis harabim lagina de'unsa de'lo saikadaitahi. That's an onus that no one would ever imagine would happen. Fine. And that's why he's pater from a nezek. He's chayv in hana, but you're pater in any of the nezek. And Rav Amar shedachvasa chaverto. No, where another cow pushed that cow over and that cow tumbled into the gina. So two cases, who would ever think that happens? They're both cases of ones, and that's why you're pater nezek, you're only chayv in the hana that you received. So man damar shidach vasa chavrasa, the one who thinks where one cow pushed the other cow, and that's ones, then kol shekein shuchlok abimimei ragleha. Certainly, if he slipped on some meraglayim, certainly that's even more of an ones case, you're pater from nezek in both scenarios. However, man damar shuchlok abimimei ragleha, if he slipped on the meraglayim, if he was pushed by another cow, then the Baal HaBehemos is actually poshe and chayiv in that case, if he falls. And chayiv the nezek, umishalam es mashe zeka, why? Damar lei, ibay lecha avur echad echada. The Baal Sada says, you're busy having your animals walk on the shuk, and you're having them pushed. You should have made them go slowly, one by one. You're trying to squeeze two people into cows in that alleyway. Of course they're going to shove each other over, one's going to fall over. You're responsible. That's poshea, pay me the full nezek. That's the other approach. Okay. Gemara now says, Amar Rav Kana, lo shanu ela ba'osa aruga. So the only time where we apply the din of, look at Rashi, lo shanu de mashe nenes he mishalemes velo mashe zika, where we say he only plays for hana, but he doesn't pay for hezek, that's only in that aruga that the animal fell into. Aval, Gemara explains, me aruga la aruga, if he goes from one patch to the next patch, then mishalemes mashe zika, then he has to pay all the damage. It's a new sadeh. He has to pay any additional eating that he does.
Even the same rishus.
Even the same rishus, right. That's what it sounds like. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu me'aruga l'aruga, Afilu kol yom kula, ad shetete v'tach saladas. Nope. He can be walking along the guy's acres of gardens and cornrows and everything for all day long, and he's potter from all that. It's not until he leaves the property and enters back in the property, ladas. So the Gemara explains, Amar Papa Lotema, don't say ad shetetze ladas v'tachse ladas. Doesn't mean where he leaves, where the owner knows that the animal came out, and then the owner knows he went back in. It doesn't mean that way. Ela kevin sheyotze ladas, once the animal escapes that corn maze, let's say, and the owner is aware of it and has the cow, Afa pisha chazer shloladas, if it goes back in without the actual without the balha behema knowing about it, he's still going to be chayv in that case. The moment again the animal leaves the corn maze with the awareness of the balha behema, then any additional time that the animal keeps going back into that corn maze and eats, that the balha behema will be chayv. Why? My taima. Damarlei came into Yalfe, once it learned, it was learning to go into these fields and eat it. It knows anytime it could get like a little extra corn, it knows that field well now, and runs back in and takes a bite here and there. So the Baal Bema, the moment he gets an animal out of that corn maze, should now have to watch over it more carefully, because it knows that they're more comfortable. It's like the cat. So you feed a cat, it always comes back. So once the cow ate from that field, it always comes back. Whenever it has a chance to run off and eat more, it goes. So for any additional eatings, even though the owner doesn't know it went back into that field, the owner is responsible because he should know that his animal is going to be inclined to go back to that field and he's therefore chayef. Gemara now quotes in the Mishnah, Yard de Kedarka Vezeka Mishalames Mash Hezeka. Not that the animal fell, but let's say the animal went down in a regular way, it just kind of went down the Rishis Rabim, climbed down the cliff into the field, then it's not hana that you pay, but you pay more than that. You pay the nezek. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah, yarda kedarka v'hezeka b'mei lay them out. Very strange case here. Rabbi Yirmiyah was known to ask very strange cases, right? So Rabbi Yirmiyah asks, so the animal goes into the field and decides to go into labor in the field, and all the meleda that comes out ruins that patch of carrots. So Mao, what's the halacha here? Do you have to pay? Is that considered nezek? If you assume, if the beginning was pshia and the end was onus, we always look at the beginning, and that is categorized as pshia, so then certainly you're chayiv here. There's no shaila. Even though it was onus, the animal decides to give birth, there's no controlling anymore. The animal gives birth and that's it. It ruins, whatever it ruins. But since the tchila, it came down bidas, kedarka, that's tchilas b'pshia, even though it ended off b'onus, I'm still chayiv. So what's the shaila of Rabbi Yirmiyah? Ki tibayi lecha, Rabbi Yirmiyah asks the question, Aliba in the world of demand damar tchilasa b'pshia v'sofa bonus is pater. So what's the shaila here? Seemingly you should be pater, because in the end of the day, the damage took place through an onus that you can't prevent, that the animal went to labor. So do we say mi amrina, and do we say kevin tchilasa b'pshia sofa bonus should be pater, like any other case? Oh, Dilmar, perhaps we would say, hacha, kula b'pshia, this entire event is viewed as pshia. Why? Since the owner knows the animal's time to give birth is very soon, it should require further protection. Just like if a woman was pregnant, you wouldn't go so far, you would need to be close to a hospital. So too, the animal owner should know that don't go anywhere where that labor delivery would cause a tremendous amount of damage. Therefore, the Gemara doesn't know how to answer the question and leaves off as a take. Gemara now says, top line of Ninches Mebeitz, Ketad Mishalames Masha Hezeka. This Gemara is going to be a bit technical. We're going to need some of Adam's actual help here. So the Gemara says, Ketad Mishalames Masha Hezeka. How does one assess the damage that takes place in this case? The Mishnah told us, look back in the Mishnah for a second here. This Mishnah is, what, Daphne and Hamebeitz, I think it was? And Hamebeitz tells us, how do you assess the Hezek? So it says, your shaman, you evaluate where the Mishnah said that how much it is worth now versus how much it was worth then. And Rabbi Shimon had this idea of that if he eats Paris Gemurim, you pay Paris Gemurim. It's all based in volume. So Gemara wants to understand this line exactly. How do you assess a saw in Osa Sada? So let's look at the Gemara. Gemara explains, right. The idea is that you're supposed to evaluate the land not on its own, but as part of the aggregate of the entire field. Right? A person were to buy one field, it's more expensive than buying one in a group of 100, and then each field individually will be cheaper. So do you view it as one independent field, which is going to be very expensive, or one field among 100 other fields? That's what the Mishnah is telling us. So you're supposed to view it as one among many other fields, which makes the price lower to pay for the hezek. So the Gemara wants to know, how do you know that you're supposed to assess it based on one field among many other fields? So Amar Rav Masna, the Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, Uvier b'sodeh acher. And it's burn, or the way we understand it, it's the animal ate the field, the other field. What's the other field? Milame shaman al gav sodeh acher. That you have to assess it with respect to another field. That's the source. Where it says that can't be the source. Hai uvir b'sada acher mibaylei to teach us another halacha, lafuke b'rishus harabim. That we said, when is shein chayv? Only in a sada acher, in someone else's field. But a field that's rishus harabim, that's also my field, or really nobody's field, then you're potter. That's what acher teaches us. Not that it's assessed through acher. Imkain, if that's the only source to teach, if that's only drasha to be learned about the exclusion of rishus harabim, then lichtov rachmana, the Torah should have written, ubir b'sada chavero. That you only chayv shein in someone else's field. Chaveru is a much cleaner word. Inami sader acher. My bis sader acher. Sheshamin agav sader acher. That it has to be assessed with respect to other fields. Ve'em akulei lahachi udasa. How do you know? Lafuki rishis rabim. Made the whole thing rather to teach us to exclude rishis rabim. Lafuki udasa. And lafuki rishis rabim minalan. Let me make sure I'm reading this correct way.
So we'd only be learning it for Sada,
not Rishis Rabim. Okay. And how would you know Rishis Rabim Minolan? Imkein, lichtevei rachmana gavei tashlumim. Then right by tashlumim, it said, metev sadeyu, metev karma yishalem. B'sada acher lamali. Right, so it says, by that case of the way you pay it, you shouldn't have to say sada acher by payment at all. So why is it teaching us b'sada acher? To tell me, lamali dekasa rachmana gavei uvir. Shema mina. Tarte, right? Why say uvir b'sada acher? Uvir, sada acher should really be only on the metav sadeo part. It's sandwiched between the two aspects. There's the maisa nezek, the vir, and then there's the tashumim, which is metav sadeo. Why do they sandwich the word acher in between both cases of the maisa hezek and the payment? To tell me that they're teaching a drasha in both elements. It's teaching me a drasha on the vir part, the eating part, only in the sada acher. Not in Rishis Rabim, as well as teaching me on the second half of the Tashumim element that the way you assess the payment is with respect to other fields as well. Shmami not Tarti. That's how you learn both here. Varna says, well, Heicha Shamina. So now Lemaisa, how do you assess it? We know now it has to be assessed with respect to other types of fields, but Lemaisa, what's the calculation here? So Amar Rav Yosi Bar Chanina says, Sa Bishishim Sa. So every sa' of the field has to be assessed as if it were one of 60. Rabbi Yani Amar says that no, tarkav b'shishim tarkavim, one tarkav within 60 tarkavim. A tarkav is half a sa', I think. Right, I think so. Let's see. Yeah, it's half a sa'. And then Chizki Amar, klach b'shishim klachim. Each klach for every 60 klachim. So what's a klach? Is like a stem, right? A stalk of some sort? Okay, that's the different assessment. Okay. So Meisvei, the Gemara asks, Ach lakav o kavayim, eats that amount of volume, ein omrim tishalim demeim. We don't say pay what you actually ate. El roan osak ilu hi aruga ktana umisharin osa. You view it as if it was a small patch, and that's how you assess it. So my lab b'fnei atma, you view it as a small patch individually, where it says, no, lo, b'shishim, you have to view it as part of a patch of 60 other arugos as well. Okay. Tanur Baran, the Brisa says further, Ein shaman kav mipnei shemashbicho, lo beis kor mipnei shepogmo. You don't assess a kav because that's going to be mashbich, and you can't do a beis kor because that's going to make it less. What does that mean? My kamar. So Amar Papa hachi kamar. Ein shaman kav b'shishim kavim mipnei shemashbich mazik. Because that's beneficial for the mazik, right? The larger field, like the more bulk you buy, same thing with field, the less it is. So that's going to be mashbiach, beneficial, too beneficial for the mazik. Well, kor b'shishim, kor mipnei shepogim mazik, because then it's going to be too overwhelming. I guess kor is a smaller amount than a kav. Must be. So then that you can't do, because that's going to be too painful for the mazik. That's too much money for him to pay. So the Gemara asks, "Namaskula Rav Huna bar Manoah, chai v'lo beis kor v'lo kor mi barlei." If that were the case, it should have said not a beis kor and not a v'lo kor itself. Lo beis kor, lo kor mi barlei. Not beis kor. It should say kor. Why?
Base core is on the field, no?
It's a much larger amount?
Yeah, core is just kav is a measure of volume, base core is a measure of area.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so base core is an area, core itself is a volume. So it's not using the same types of measurements. Okay. Se'ela, Amar Rav Huna bar Manoach Mishmei Rav Acha Brei Rav Ika Hachi Katani. Ein Shamin Kav Bifnei Atmo Bifnei Shemashbiach Nizak. You can view it as a kav independently because that's too beneficial for the nizak. For lo kav b'fbeis kor, you can't do a kav in an area if they shapogim nizak. That's going to be too painful. It's going to be much less than the nizak deserves. El b'shishim, you do it kav within 60 other kav.
Which means we look at the volume
with respect to the area,
not in the area.
Right? Well, it says in the end here, it's kav. Kav's the volume. It said David, right?
Right.
And the base core is still an area. So it sounds like you do a kav, a volume, with respect to an area. I'm not sure how the math works here exactly, but it seems like that's a good way to do it. Okay. Mara says further, Hahu gavra de katz kashba mechavre. A certain person cut down a tree from his chaver. Also, the kav de Reish Galusa, they took him to Bezdin, to Reish Galusa rather. Amaleli didi chazili, v'tlasi talsa bikina havakaimah. I saw, who's speaking, I guess Reish Galusa says, I saw myself that this was among three other trees, and Havi Shavi Mea Zuzei, and the group of three trees was worth a total of 100 zuz. Zil Havlei Tlasin Tlasa Vatilsa, go pay 33 and a third, which is of course a third of 100, pay that because you killed, you took away one of the trees. So Amar Gabe Reish Galusa, Didan Dina de Parsam Alamali. They say, why would he go to the Reish Galusa? He's making up Persian rules. Where did this come from? How did he make that one up? That's the man I owe. Based on what? So, also the comment of Rav Nachman, the winter of Nachman, who I believe was the son-in-law of the Reish Galusa, right? Is that correct? I believe so. They say that in the article? I believe he's the son-in-law of the Reish Galusa. Okay. So Amalei B'shishim, he says you have to assess the one tree as if it were one of 60 different trees. So Amalei Rava says, wait a second. Im Amru B'nitzke Mamona, Yomu B'nitzke Gufo, that klal of shishim is what the Mishnah tells us when an animal causes damage. But when a person, Nitzke Gufo, when a person causes damage, whoever says that's the same method of assessment that we're supposed to use.
So there's different types of damage. One's a permanent damage. Right? You cut off the tree, you can no longer ever use that fruit. The animal falls onto the tree or the garden or regrow.
Well, the tree could also regrow. Meaning, depending on what type of tree it is, I guess if you took out the whole tree and all the roots.
It's like a permanent.
An interesting point. That's what the Gemara in the first parak talks about, mechalya karna or not. If it's mechalya karna, it's meaning it can't ever grow back. It's a good point. I hear that point. Does anybody ask this question? Let's go through the end. Maybe I'm not sure if the Gemara will address. I don't think the Gemara addresses this, but let's go through the end here and see. Maybe in the back someone asks the question. But I hear. So the Gemara asks, says, so pay the tree as if it were one of 60 trees. So again, Rava says, how do you know that applies to only Nizke Mamona? But by Nizke Gufa, whoever says that. So Amalei Abai says back to Larava, Beniske Gufa my daicha. What do you think by Niske Gufa? What do you think is appropriate for him when he cuts down the tree? The sign of the Baraita tells us, Ha Mavkir Karmel Shechavero. Mavkir Rashi is Shiches Vikila. He wipes out a guy's vineyard. Smadar, Rowan also, Smadar is probably that's when the grapes are underdeveloped, I think. So when they're still in the earlier stages of development, how valuable was the vineyard before he ruined it, and how valuable is it now after it's been ruined? But it doesn't say shishim. So that's your raya, Rava, that because if Bryce never mentioned 60, well, according to that same logic, you have the same idea by the behema. Kihai gavna, very similar case. It says the tanya. Katata, natia, if the guy cuts off a tree, Revi Yossi Omer Gozwe Gizeros, Shibushalayim, goes to Xeros, rather, they make these different decrees. Rashi says, Kones, Knasos, you give him certain penalties. Admon and Vachanan ben Avshalom, Gemara and Ksubas talks about that thing. And Shibushalayim, Omrim, Netia, Bashnasa, Shte Kesef, Bashte Shnarim, Arba Kesef. These are the set amounts of Knasos they had in Yushalayim. Fine. Now, let's say, Achle Chazes, they eat some of the aftergrowth, certain things that grow from the ground that haven't developed just yet. The animal eats it. Rabbi Yosef Gluli Omer Nidon B'Meshuyar Shebo. You assess it based on whatever's left over in the field. And Chachamim Omrim, Roan Osa Kama Haisa Yafa, the Kama Hiyafa. No, you look at how much it's worth now and how much it was worth beforehand. And the Gemara says in the top now, further, Achlas Madar, you eat a fruit that's under, a grape that's underdeveloped, a very small grape, Rashi says, Anavim Dakin. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Roan Osa Kilu Hein Anavim Om Mostly Butter. You view them as if they were developed grapes and more valuable than they actually were. We're being penalizing the mazik. And Chacham Omrim once again, Rowan Kama Haisa Yafe, Vekama Hiyafe, how much it was, how much it is worth. And Rabbi Shimon Ben Yehuda Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bamed Mamur, where is this true? Bizman She'achla Lulave Gfanim, V'yachori Tainim. When you eat the different grape leaves and the other types of figs. One second. Aval achla pagim obosar, which are developed figs or developed grapes. So then ro'nos akilo navim omnosli batzer. So then you view them as being larger than they actually were. Fine, that's a whole brayse. A different machlokas how to assess it. But what we care from this brayse is the one line that we're pulling out here is katani mias. It says chacham omrim when the animal eats the different vegetables. It says ro'nos kama hayusa yafe v'kama hayafe, how much it is and how much it was worth. Below katani b'shishim, so it doesn't say 60. So you're going to tell me just because it doesn't say 60 means you don't assess 60? Everyone agrees it's 60. Elamayis lecholameimar b'shishim. What he means is how much it was worth among 60 other ones, and how much it's worth now among 60 other ones. So halchanami sotu by niske adam, when a person cuts down his tree, we don't view them as how much it was actually worth. Rather halchanami b'shishim. That's how the Gemara ends this discussion. In regards to Donnie's question, I'll look in the back regarding your question, but for now we will stop here. Like that.